Hey everyone, my name's Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circa Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circa Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus. Our mission field is our generation, and we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast. All right. It's Thanksgiving week, guys. Thanksgiving week. Where are the ham people at? Where are the turkey people at? Where's the red meat people that you defy tradition? The ribeye, the prime rib. What? Steak. Steaksgiving. How many of you agree that it's just confusing why we even have stuffing? How many of you ever get nervous eating a relative's casserole of any kind? The name casserole just kind of scares you a little bit. Go ahead, raise your hand. I want to heal you right now. Be healed. Well, happy Thanksgiving. I have an amazing message tonight that's not on anything to do with Thanksgiving. So hopefully you can forgive me. Do you guys forgive me? I'll do a mini one right now. You ready for it? Here we go. Prepare you for Thanksgiving. Be thankful, guys. Yeah. Lift up a shout of Thanksgiving in this place. All right. Sermon over. Let's get into tonight. Faith. The last number of weeks have been absolutely amazing. The reason why we do this is that something about faith, it's like such an obvious element to Christianity. Of course, we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. It is the essence of the Christian life. And a lot of times we talk about it, give a message to it once in a while, but everything in the Christian life actually takes faith. And there's all these different circumstances and applications and moments that we're not quite sure. How do we apply our faith in this circumstance? What does it actually look like to trust God, to move by His Spirit, to walk by the Spirit wherever we go? I think for a lot of us, the way that you learn faith is if you get the opportunity to follow a man or woman of God who walks in faith. It's one of those subjects that are kind of caught, not taught, right? That's one of those moments where everything is going wrong and that man of God in your life goes, you know what, we're praying right now. We're going to trust God. He's going to come through. It's those moments in real life where you see faith expressed, where you see faith actually on display that starts to build into you this inventory of going, you know what, I know what it actually looks like to walk by faith. I actually know what it looks like to step into this moment. A few weeks ago, we talked about that really the journey of Christianity is a lifelong, dangerous journey. That Jesus has no interest in our comfort, that Jesus has no interest in our status quo, that what He has interested in us is that we pick up our cross and that we follow Him. And that there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, there's going to be left turns and right turns and U-turns and upwards and downwards. And sometimes you're not even going to know exactly what's going on. But if we keep trusting and following Him, Jesus has a way of weaving together the most beautiful multi-generational story, leaving a legacy for you and the ones that are to come behind you. But tonight I want to look even closer at the moment. I want to take a moment, not zoom out. I actually want to zoom in. I want to talk about seizing divine opportunity. Because there are moments in our life that there are actual opportunities. Like, it is not real that just opportunities just kind of endlessly open, that you can kind of just stay in the same place. There are moments where doors will be open and there is a time clock on that door being open, and you have to have the discernment and the know-how to know, am I supposed to walk through this door or is this door not for me? And I think sometimes because we have so much anxiety in our generation, those kind of things scare us. We kind of get freaked out. You know, I don't know if this is going to work out. Am I going to miss it? How many of you have been afraid that you're going to miss your calling? Go ahead, raise your hand. Well, the solution for you is not just telling you, well, no matter what, God's going to work it out. How many know that's not true? You can absolutely disobey God. You can absolutely not yield to the word. You can absolutely walk in the opposite direction that Jesus is calling you to walk in, that there should be a little bit of fear of God. We have to hold these two things in tension, that God is a good father. He's not the Riddler. This is not QAnon. This is not Reddit conspiracy theory land. This isn't this blog and this blog and this blog and I'm going to figure out my future. No, God is a good shepherd. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. But at the same time, there's a fear of the Lord that there are moments and you need to seize that moment. I think for a lot of us, I don't know if you've ever watched someone labor over a decision. Because either way, either decision they made, there was a cost. So you know, one of the most relatable ones for me, unfortunately, in my life, but I think is maybe relatable to so many of us, is the moment when someone is in a relationship and it is getting serious and they kind of want it to end and they kind of want it to go forward. But they don't really want to get engaged and seal the deal and move forward, but they're kind of afraid to let it go. And if they, you can't rebuke it, it happens every day. I'm sorry. And you're watching that man or you're watching that woman, and if they make a decision to go forward, it's going to cost them everything. That's it. It's the whole game. It's that person for life. And if they turn back and say, I'm done, it's not like you're going to get a redo a year later. How many know that life is not always a Hallmark movie? That your ex is not always excited to get your phone call again. I'll change. Who cares? Never call again. Right? That's... Life is not always a Disney movie down here. There are opportunities. And there are some people, they watch that, they don't want to get involved. They just try to delay decisions. Right? Have you ever maybe met the guy who's got a crush on the girl and he always talks about the crush on the girl? And you're like, can you just go and talk to the girl? And they spiritualize it. They get weird about it. They get weird about it. I'm going to pray about it. You know, it's all about God's timing. God's doing something in me right now. You know, I'm in a season. They're making up a season. They don't even read their Bible. How do they know what season there even is? And they delay, and they delay, and they delay, and they delay, and they come in. Finally, it's always when they get boldness too, right? That was going to be the night. They walk into Monday night. Tonight's the night. I'm going to ask her out. Where is she? And there she is, and she's sitting. Is she holding his hand? Oh, my gosh. And then what do we do? What do we do in all these circumstances, right? Your friend breaks up with the girl, and then you try to gotta comfort him, but you secretly disagree. Have you ever had this moment? You're comforting your friend who didn't make the leap, didn't ask the person out, and you're like, oh, it's going to be okay. There's going to be another one. And in the back of your mind, there's probably no one now. That was it. That was it. You're going to monk season, bro. That's what God's calling you to at this time. God's calling you to the spiritual monastery. That's what God's got for you at this point. Have you ever had this moment? You maybe even lied to your friend. Oh, man, dude, God's timing is perfect. He's going to work it out. But as soon as you went back to your house, you had to grab a neutral party and go, hey, we never had this conversation. I'm totally denying I ever said this. I really think this guy missed his calling. I really think this guy missed it. I mean, if he would have married that girl, this would have, his whole life would have worked out. If he would have just asked that girl out 4 months ago, he would be a different person. But then, right, you got to act normal in front of your friends and go, it's all going to be okay. But I think this is a very relatable circumstance in all of our life, is that there are moments in our life where we realize that there are actual moments that a decision is required. There is a moment where you have to seize the day and seize the moment and walk into the door and walk forward with courage and step into that moment, or the moment passes you by and you have to take a risk that another moment is coming. I want to tell you, God is a good God. He is going to provide many moments. God is a good God. He is going to open many doors. But you should also have a fear of the Lord in your life that not every door is going to come back again. Not every opportunity is going to come back again. Now, you need to know that God is full of grace and God is full of love and He's going to guide you. But you also need to have that other side of you that goes, you know what? You have my attention, God. I'm leaned in. There's got to be a moment where I am leaned in to this moment. My passage tonight is Luke 9, starting in verse 61. It says, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. Let me look at this one in the Message Bible. I love how it says it. Then another said, I am ready to follow you, master, but first excuse me while I get things straightened out at home. Jesus said, no procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put God's kingdom off till tomorrow sees the day. See, there is a moment, if you walk by faith, that you need to burn the boats. There is a moment, if you're walking with Jesus, there is a moment where you have to blow up the bridge home. There is a moment where you have to cancel the plan B and you can't half-heartedly step into what God has for you. You have to step in wholeheartedly. When you find that man or woman in your life in the future, can I tell you, in that moment comes, you're going to have to step in wholeheartedly. When you become a mom or a dad, you're going to have to step into that moment wholeheartedly. I don't know a single employer that if God opens a door for you to work for their business, they're going to be great with your half effort. They're going to want to see you walking into that moment wholeheartedly. And there is nothing worse than being with someone who always feels like they should be somewhere else. There's nothing worse than being around someone who you feel like you're kind of bothering them, like they're somewhere else that they need to be. That there's kind of this sense of anxiety, that there are kind of always fear of a better option, fear that they're missing out, kind of looking around, just endlessly scrolling, endlessly looking, endlessly scanning, endlessly worrying, endlessly having anxiety. But do you know what actually part of the cure for that anxiety is? It's not just getting rid of your phone. It's not just looking at less options. It's making a decision. Because I think it would be complete an anxiety fest if you just indefinitely leave all of your options open. You will feel some stress your sophomore year if you're just still dinking around at college and you don't know why you're on the planet and why you're paying so much money to get a degree. But do you know why all of a sudden that you can greatly reduce your anxiety is make a decision and step into the moment. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a business person. I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to step forward into the moment, not looking back. Because sometimes I think what we do is we comfort ourselves with saying things like, you know what? If God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. If God wants to do it, He's going to do it. And we say that to comfort each other, but we all know that we are not robots. Are you a robot? Wouldn't it be nice if God actually took over? Do you know how fit I would be at the gym? If at just 6 a.m. my body's like... kale smoothie. When's the last time you fasted? These are proof that God is participating with you, leading with you, but that you have to engage. And we see this all throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament, we see the Israelites, Numbers 14:22. None of the men who have seen my glory and my signs and yet have not obeyed my voice shall see the land that I swore to give their fathers. God's highest intention was for all the Israelites coming out of Egyptians' captivity and slavery was to seize the promised land. But their unbelief, They did not seize their divine opportunity. Jesus coming to his hometown in Mark 6, verse 5, and he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. There are moments in your life where the chips really are on the table. There is a moment coming in your future where the decision is going to determine the trajectory of your entire life. And to say otherwise is a lie. There are going to be seasons of your life where literally cutting off a relationship and building a new healthy one may literally determine a different outcome for your life. The difference between actually engaging in discipleship and becoming a student of the word versus a shallow reader of the scripture. Like, there are things that actually really matter, but when they come, are you ready to seize them? Because life is a vapor down here. Life is short. You're here, dude, my 20s is like a blur. I literally looked at my wife on my birthday and I was like, I'm 33. She's like, you're 34. And I was like, oh, it's terrible. This all feels like a month. It just is moving faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And what's so interesting is all the things I said I would have time for in the future, I don't. And there are legitimate moments. I don't live with regret. I live under grace. But I look back and go, dude, I had so much more free time then. I should have invested that a little bit better. There are so many points in my life where opportunities came my way, but fear stole those from me. And I actually look back going, you know what? I wish I could have seized that opportunity. My heart for all of us tonight is that we would step in and seize the opportunity. Now here's the good news. Everyone say good news. God wants to show you what to do. That's the good news. Isaiah 30, 21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Mandalorian, I guess. Walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Psalms 37, 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Proverbs 16, 9, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Proverbs 20, 24, a man's steps are from the Lord. How then can man understand his way? In 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The good news for your life is it will not be a decision of not knowing what to do. It will be a decision. Do you have the courage to step into it? The future thing that we're working on tonight is not will you recognize the open door when it comes, but will you have the courage and the know-how to step through it? Now, we know God's general will for our life. All kinds of verses on that. These all could be different sermons, and we preach them many times. We know that God wants to first and foremost make us more like Jesus. He wants us to become a thankful people, right? Because if you don't become thankful, you'll never be happy and joyful in the life that he gives you. He wants us to submit in humility and obedience to him. He wants to grow our faith. He wants us to grow in love. He wants us to stand in righteousness. But here's the one that I think we're really talking about when we're thinking about our future. We have to learn to walk in the Spirit. That God's will for us is to walk in the Spirit. And so many times, that is the frustrating element. When we say, God, what do you want to do in my life? He's like, I want you to make you more like me, son. I know that. That's great. Okay. Amen. I'm going to work on being loving. I want to build thankfulness and gratitude and humility in your life. Oh, that's superb. Thank you, God. Really appreciate that. That's amazing. I want to grow your faith, Nick. Oh, yeah. Can't wait. Journal that tomorrow. Scheduled it. Planned it. Ready to go. I want you to stand for righteousness. Amen. God, you have my yes. But when we're asking God, what is your will for my future? We want to know specifics.
And that's the frustration, trying to discern what is our contribution down here. I think all of us are kind of privately longing for this moment where God's like, hey, your wife's name is Barbara. You're going to meet her in 4 months. She's going to be wearing a yellow shirt with polka dots on it. And she's going to be frowning. But when she sees you, she's going to keep frowning. Don't worry about that. Push past that. But on that first date, it's going to go horribly. But the second date, everything's going to turn around. You're going to be a dentist. A dentist for the glory of God. But at 39, I'm going to interrupt that. And you're going to become a dentist in Mongolia as a missionary. For the next 27 years, you'll have a thriving ministry there. And then I will pivot you to being a mentor of the next generation. At that time of your life, I'll also provide a sabbatical. You will get rest and relaxation looking at the beautiful hills of Bali, Indonesia. And then, amen, we love that. Thank you for participating in this. And then at 82, you're going to go to bed and you'll be with me. Wow. All of us. Now, number one, I don't think any of us want that. It'd be so boring. It'd be like, three more months. There's Barbara. Frowning. All right. You know, like. I think there's this desire in all of our heart to know with certainty, why am I on the planet? What am I supposed to do? And I already told you a few weeks ago that God's not going to give you the specifics like that. That wasn't an important point, I'm sure. God wants to give... Thank you so much. Wow. You get 10 brownie points. There's going to be a moment in your life where you're walking forward and God is going to show you what to do. And tonight I want to look at three different ways that I believe that God is going to speak to you that are broad biblical patterns in Scripture. And I want you to be careful to watch through these throughout your life. But I feel every single one of these doors also presents an enemy that you have to overcome. See, the Holy Spirit, he's wild. He's wild. He descends on Jesus like a dove. This is my son who I'm well pleased. And what does he do right next? Luke 4:1, and Jesus, full of spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Holy Spirit's first job was not to lead him to now miracles, signs and wonders, salvation, revival, but to be tested by the devil in the wilderness. So when we say walk by the Spirit, we are talking about the friend you are afraid to drive with is now driving your life. Do you have a friend who switches lanes by faith? They just are so relaxed, just merging over. And here's my sneaking suspicion. I actually believe that if you are in Jesus in this room and you have a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit is already speaking to you. I think as I go through these three tonight, it's not going to be like, oh, wow, I hope that happens to me one day. I think one of these three has already happened to you, but you maybe not have had language for it yet. That you're actually going to go, oh, man, I'm not crazy. This has totally happened. This is God. Now, the first way is this. God showing up in a dramatic and direct way. Through Scripture, through an encounter, through the Holy Spirit, through the prophetic voice of a friend. I don't know how he's going to show up, but he's going to show up in a direct way, and he is going to speak to you. Now, a lot of times, different speakers, they will shy away from this a little bit, because not everybody, this is not like a thing that happens to every single person on the planet. This is not necessarily something like all of us are going to have a burning bush moment. All of us are going to have a dramatic moment. God is going to speak to you in the way that he has decided. God has decided how he's going to speak to you, and it's going to be different. He's going to show up in different ways depending on our calling and depending on the mysterious nature of his will. But this is something that I want to talk about for a moment because I think a lot of people feel they are crazy And they don't know where to go to talk about these moments they have with God. I cannot tell you how many pastors I've heard their story of the origin of their church. But then if you really watch enough YouTube videos, they're feeling a little bit loose one day, and a good question asker is getting it out of them, and they go, well, fine. At 13, I heard the audible voice of God. You're going to be a pastor. I just watched one of the most famous pastors in America tell the real story of why he was called into ministry. But where do you go to talk about that with anybody? How do you emerge like, hey, guys, God spoke to me in there. There's something dramatic. There's something intense about the way that when God speaks to us, but I believe it is happening, going to continue to happen, and happens for many of us. Some of the big examples of this is obviously the burning bush in Exodus. Isaiah 6, where literally Isaiah is swept up into a heavenly vision of God sitting on the throne. We see this in Gideon when the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Jesus, approaches him and calls him forward. And there are three markers that you can know that really, is it God speaking to you directly? Number one is this. It's dramatic and clear. All three of these moments, it is very clear. The burning bush, you're going to go back to Egypt. You're going to set my people free. Isaiah, you're going to be a prophet to the nations. Oh, Gideon, you're going to actually rise up and you're going to take back Israel and you're going to free them from oppression. You're the man that's going to do it. Sometimes I hear people come up to me and they go, I had this 25-minute dream last night and I walked over there and ate a sandwich and I looked up online and sandwiches mean God's provision. I'm like, yo, dude, God is a clear God. He's not sending you a Nancy Drew book to figure out your calling. If he shows up, it will be dramatic and it will be clear. But number two, it will also be holy. All three of these instances, Moses takes off his shoes. He's on holy ground. Isaiah literally has a coal touched to his lips in this heavenly encounter, representing the purity, the holiness of the Lord. Gideon immediately goes and builds an altar for sacrifice because he recognizes that he is speaking to God. See, how you can know that you're speaking to God is it should produce humility in your life. It should produce a sense of awe in your life. It should propel you to a place of purity. And most of all, it should align with Scripture. If God shows up to you and goes, you know what I want you to do? I want you to sell drugs. I want you to know that was not God. Maybe dramatic and clear, but it's clear that what you heard violated Scripture. But when God shows up, there's a sense of holiness, a sense of burden, a sense of being in alignment with the character and nature of God. But the third thing is this. In all three of these circumstances, an argument breaks out between the person experiencing this moment with God and God. Moses goes, God, I don't even know how to talk. I'm not even a good leader. I don't think I'm the leader you're looking for. Isaiah goes, no, God, you don't understand my brokenness. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm not qualified to be a voice to the nation. Gideon literally goes, I am the least in my tribe. I'm the weakest. Nobody's going to want to follow me. I am not a leader. Trust me, God, I am not the person you are looking for. So the first thing is that there are going to be moments where God is going to make things abundantly clear in your life. But you need to know that the biggest thing that is going to keep you from stepping into that moment is that inner argument of insecurity. What we call it today is imposter syndrome. This sense that, oh, God, I'm not, oh, wrong guy. I think you just got the wrong mailing address. You're thinking about Fred. You're thinking about Sally. It's that, no, he's, no, trust me, God, my quiet time is not what you're thinking right now. See, I wonder how many of us actually have heard from God what our life is to be about, but you are still in argument with God with all of your insecurities and all the reasons why you are not the person to do it. If imposter syndrome had a phrase, it would be yelling at you, who do you think you are? Are you serious? Do you see who you are? Do we need to review your last year of what you've been doing? Do we need to make your thoughts public? Come on, come back to reality. This is not who you are. But there's a fundamental mistake that we make in all of these arguments is that we don't realize it is not ourselves inviting us into these impossible things. It is God. See, what we don't understand is that when God comes and he calls you, he is going to provide and equip you. He is going to move through you. God is not going to ask you to step into something that you can do on your own. He's going to call you to step you into impossibility where you need him to flow through you. I think this happens with the Great Commission all the time. Go make disciples of all nations. I think so many of us, if we just allowed to just share our thoughts, we're like, dude, I don't even know how to lead. I'm afraid to share the gospel. I have no idea what I would do in a Bible study. I have no idea how I would even have a one-on-one with my friend to talk about what we're learning. Vulnerability is like so awkward for me. I don't even think I could write a 3-paragraph devotional for someone to read about what I'm learning in the scripture. So you got to realize that God is going to highlight things to you and go, this is what you are to be about. But you got to know that the first thing that's coming to take it out is that imposter syndrome. When in reality, do you think that any of us are ever going to accomplish the Great Commission without the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you think that any of us really just come out of the womb going, that guy is just ready to mentor men? That guy's the next Jocko Willick. That guy right there. Sign him up. Men Who Lead course. That's the guy. No, all of us come into our destiny feeling dramatically underqualified, but you begin to accept your calling and step into the moment and seize the divine opportunity when you begin to recognize and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You begin to realize not who do you think you are. It's actually something begins to rise up in your spirit going, do you know who he is? Do you, I'm sorry. Yeah, God called me. Oh yeah, I'm totally broken. But this is, have you read the Bible? God loves broken people. Amen. Oh yeah, yeah, God called me. Yeah, I'm gonna be a voice. Oh, my voice is shaking. He's gonna work through that. I just gotta start talking. Oh, he promised he would give me the words. I don't know what I'm going to preach on tomorrow. I got a lot of reading to do tonight. I don't know how I'm going to share the gospel. I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to start some conversations. Listen, I don't know if the invitation to church goes bad and I got to get Thai food afterwards and have damage control. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but here we go. See, there's something that begins to rise in your spirit. When you start to recognize that when God comes and speaks to you, you got to know he's going to act on behalf of you. Now, part of the reality of this is my experience, and I see this all over in the pattern of scripture, is as soon as you say out loud what God has said over your life, you need to know it's going to come under warfare. There is something that when the dream gets out of the journal, that is when the who do you think you are is coming. I don't know if it's coming through just a barrage of negative thoughts. I don't know if it's coming from a barrage of lies from the enemy. I don't know if it's going to come through an insecure friend, a bitter family member. But you got to know that that voice is coming to talk you out of what God has said. But aren't you glad that Moses didn't head back to camp and go, hey, you know, I think I got to go back to Egypt. Hey, that's crazy, dude. Back to Egypt, you're going to get killed. They're looking for you there. You can't go back there. Man, you're right. I think I was dehydrated. That burning bush thing, dude, what was I? Bushes don't burn. Aren't you glad Isaiah didn't head home and walk into the house and go, hey, It's crazy. Saw God, I'm going to be a voice to the nation. The cousin's in there going, you? Did you see your last sermon? You got mocked off the street, Isaiah. Dude, you've always been prideful. You've always been elevating yourself. Who do you think you are having this dream? Aren't you glad that Gideon didn't just go have a heart-to-heart with his dad and goes, I'm the least in my tribe? His pops goes, yeah, you are. Why even try, dude? You're just desperate because you're under oppression. This is just a coping mechanism, dude. Let's just keep our heads down and let's keep moving forward. You got to have something rise in your spirit. You got to have a moment that if God has given you a promise, if God has given you a call, you cannot let the voice of intimidation, that imposter syndrome, insecurity cocktail, make it into your spirit. You got to have a moment where you rise and you go, this is who God says. Because where can you go to tell someone what God really says? I cannot tell you how many people have come to me in the privacy of a backroom moment and just go, dude, I don't know who else to tell, but I had this encounter about being a missionary in Africa. And I look at them and go, it's real. Do it. And guess what? They're missionaries in Africa today. I cannot tell you how many people have walked into my house and go, God is calling me into business and he's going to give me success. I don't know who I can tell this to. I think he said I was going to be wealthy and I was going to give away the finances. And guess what? Those people are having success in the business field tonight. I'm telling you, if you got a dream that's been sitting in the journal, if you got a dream that's been sitting in the voice notes, if you got that encounter from when you were 14 years old because your grandma was praying for you and crying out, and you have just blocked that thing out, tonight is your moment to step forward back into that moment and go, this is a divine opportunity from heaven, and I got to start walking to Egypt. I got to start opening my mouth and speaking to the nation. The second way that God is going to show up and provide opportunity in your life is through mentors and leaders. Luke 9, verse 60, and Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. We see this moment all throughout scripture. Paul and Timothy, Elijah and Elisha, Jesus and the disciples. There are going to be moments where God sends a godly man or a godly woman into your life and they crack open the door to access to them. Where they begin to give you opportunity to follow them. It could be an employer. It could be a teacher. It could be a coach. It could be a friend. It could be your friend's dad. It could be somebody in your life who is walking in godliness and says, you know what? I want you to follow me. I think we have absolutely lost our understanding of what real mentorship is in the Bible. You could not go to Jesus and go, will you be my mentor? And the few people he did, he said crazy stuff like this. Let the dead go bury the dead, and you follow me. See, so much of the time, we have seen that mentorship is about older people, experienced people, coming into our life to help us be successful. Can you help me be successful? But there are going to be moments in your life where the ask from God, the open door of relationship, is not that he's providing someone to make you successful. It's backwards. He's opening the door for you to serve that man or that woman, to make their dreams happen, to serve what God is doing in them. And in the process of serving them, one day you stand and you go, wow, I made it into my dream. By giving up my dream and serving this man or serving this woman, God made a way for my dream. Elisha and Elijah. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. Then he took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. He had this moment where when a relational door opened, he left everything and goes, I want to follow you. There are two ways that you can know If a relational door is right, number one, you want to become like them. You want to carry what they carry. When you look at their life, you look at their walk with God, you look at their family, you look at the legacy you're carrying, you go, there is something on their life that I want. Mentorship is not a casual thing. If you want to find that open door, you got to be ready to go and pull on that mentor. You got to be able to rush and barge through that open door and say, I'm here to serve you. How can I help you? See, I think a lot of us, the second thing is this, is that they are good at something and they're going to teach you about God. Kind of key. And some of you need to realize that the dream future you're imagining is way different than you're thinking. The remote 100K job with complete flexibility may not exist for you. What may exist for you is that a businessman who's in love with God, who loves his wife, has godly children, who owns a plumbing company, who funds missionaries around the world, who gets up every morning and gives the first hour of his day to prayer, and gives one Saturday a month to go to the hospital, minister to those that don't have anything, that may be the open door that God is offering you. Some of you may realize that the big church, the big pastor, he doesn't have time to meet with you. But the godly neighborhood pastor down the road, who his service is not flashy, the worship does not look like a Monday night, and he says, hey, I want you to follow me. I'm going to teach you how to disciple. And never meet with me again if you don't bring your physical Bible. You got to realize that God is going to open doors for you in your life where godly men and women are saying, come and follow me. But here's the big problem. The big enemy here is inconvenience. If you want to follow someone, if you want to gain access to someone's life, it is going to inconvenience you. And Jesus kind of models this. And there's so many times where he's looking around. He's like, hey, yeah, you can follow me or not. No worries. Jesus is not chasing people down saying, come and be my disciple. And I want to caution you. Yes, YouTube, there is value. Ask some questions to ChatGPT. Great. Jump on a podcast and listen to some thoughts. But you know what I've been thinking about? I was watching this podcaster give such a philosophical argument, and I had this thought, would he die for what he's saying? That guy's livelihood is just going on things and talking about things. There's no cost if he doesn't live out his theories. You want to be with someone in real life. There is value to getting in the door with somebody real. And you got to ask yourself, are you ready for the inconvenience? Are you ready to show up early to the meeting? Are you ready to bring some questions to ask them? Are you ready to jump in the car because they got to go grocery shopping and that's when they had time to meet with you and you're showing up with joy helping them find the 2% milk? Are you happy to get up at 4 a.m. to meet at 5 a.m. with the businessman before work where he's going to pour out his heart to you? Are you ready to actually receive correction? Dude, so many young people, and I got so many dirty laundry stories from my own life where I'm like, yo, give it to me straight. Yo, I can take it. I cannot take it. I remember the first time I'm meeting with my dad, I'm meeting with Andy, I'm like, yo, give me some feedback on my preaching. I was not ready for that feedback about my preaching. I launched into a bunch of defensiveness. I launched into a bunch of speeches of why they were wrong and I was right. Luckily, they were loving mentors and moved through that with me and were patient with me. But you need to ask yourself, do you really want to submit to someone else's vision and learn from them? I'm telling you, man, being a founding pastor, too popular right now. Being an influencer, too popular right now. Launching your own movement, too popular right now. My ambition for you is that you would have a moment going, God, you know, I'll launch if I have to. I'll follow you if I'm an Abraham in the story. But God, if you would provide anyone that I could go learn from, if you would open a door, I would seize that divine opportunity. If you would just bring one godly man or one godly woman, I don't care what they look like. I don't care if they're not cool, don't understand media, but they know God. I don't care if they don't know how to talk in my language. I will join their language because I want to learn. See, you need to know that these moments are going to come, and sometimes they're a conversation. Recently, there was a pastor. I really wanted to meet with him. And someone from our shop, from our community, just, you know, made an error in doing something. They didn't mean to do it and kind of ruffled some feathers. And so I just sent an apology letter over to that pastor going, hey, I never want to create more work for pastors. You know, so appreciate, love what you're doing. And I'm about to send it. And I'm like, you know what? I've been wanting to meet with this pastor for a while. And I go, you know what? Here's my story. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm running after. Would you meet with me at any point? I get an email back an hour later. He goes, yeah, I'll meet with you in 3 weeks. I show up. You better believe I showed up ready. At the end of the meeting, you know what I said? I was like, how can I meet with you again? I'll do anything. I'll read whatever book you want. I'll watch any video series you need me to. I'll do your podcast. I'm coming to your church on Sundays. Even though we got Mondays, I'm coming over there too. I'm learning from you. I'm going to read. And you know what? I'm going to go meet with him in a few books. And I read his book. And I went through his discipleship material. And I'm coming in with my questions. That is what you got to have in your spirit. You're going to be sitting there, maybe some of you this Thanksgiving, and your uncle is a successful real estate agent. And you know what? Quit thinking about making it out of your own and go over there and go, dude, I don't know anything about business. I watch all the YouTube videos and I'm broke. I don't know nothing. I need help. I need help. And he's going to tell you a long story. You're like, why? Uncle's out of touch. Long story. I want Mark Cuban to be my mentor. It's not happening. It's Uncle Bob. Put up with the old story. Humble yourself and learn. This is what I'm talking about, inconvenience. The third one is this. It's the most frustrating of all of them. Is there going to be moments in your life where, yes, God speaks dramatically. There are going to be moments in your life where God's going to open doors through a relationship. But there are going to be moments in your life that all you're going to have is knowing the character of God. And courage. There are going to be so many moments in your life where you're going to be waiting there going, saying, Holy Spirit, would you speak? I'm waiting on the dream. Would love that. Oh, I'm supposed to walk into this right now. I want to do this right now. I'm ready. God, send my mentor to tell me what to do. Oh, he can't pick up his phone right now. Or I don't have one right now. And you have to make a decision. You cannot delay. You have to step into it. And all you have is knowing God's character and the right thing to do. I love this story of David and Goliath. 1 Samuel 17. This is, as he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so much afraid, and were much afraid. Skipping to verse 26. And David said to the men who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Isn't it crazy that David in this moment, he has had a prophetic word that he's going to be king of Israel. And the crucial moment, he does not realize that is going to literally kickstart his whole journey to being king, is a moment where he is going to see Goliath. He is going to see him taunting, and something is going to rise up in his spirit because he knows God and says, who is this guy to defy our God? I'll fight him. What's your word? I don't need a word. I know who God is. There are going to be moments in your life where you are standing on the precipice going, I don't know what the right thing to do is. I just got the word. This lines up with the word. And I just need a ton of courage to step forward into this moment. And in that moment, God is going to give you a knowing what to do. But you need to not talk yourself out of it. See, fear of failure will dominate you the rest of your life. Can I tell you that there is no guarantee that you will not fail? Period. In fact, I want to guarantee at some point you will fail in some way. If you are starting anything for the first time, you will be bad and have failures. Thank God my early sermons were not online. Thank God my early Bible studies, there was no one recording on their phone. Thank God my early meetings of learning how to talk to people in a normal way, I didn't have somebody flipping up their camera filming me in embarrassing moments. See, I want you to know failure actually is guaranteed, and there is nothing you can do to control it. Irv McManus makes this point. He says that the reason that we overthink is that we think that if we just keep on thinking about it, we'll eventually come to a solution that will reduce the risk. That if we keep on thinking about it, eventually we'll be able to control the outcome. And so many of us tonight, your action step is you may not have a crazy direct word from God. You may have no mentor showing up, but you have a knowing in what you're supposed to do. And it's almost offensive that you are going to have to make a decision that will affect the next 5-10 years of your life off of faith, knowing God's character. That you may have to make a life or death decision like David because you know God. And no amount of, I just got to keep praying on it. Just praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying. I'm going to keep reading, I'm going to keep talking, I'm going to keep thinking about it. There's at some point, I'm telling you, all that prayer, it may give you peace, it may give you courage, but there have been many moments where I am spiritualizing my delay, I am spiritualizing and rebranding my fear, and the real truth is, I got to pay the cost of potential failure and jump in. I do not know if this opportunity is going to work out. I do not know if I should take this speaking opportunity. I do not know if this relationship is going to work. I do not know if this friend is going to be here to last. I do not know if this church is the perfect and right church that I should be going to. I am not sure this is the perfect and right mentor for me. I am not exactly sure that this is the trajectory of my career. I am not totally in understanding if I'm supposed to be a missionary. I'm not totally sure if I should accept this invitation to volunteer. But what I do know is this, it lines up with God's character. And I feel something tugging at me. And in that moment, what I am telling you is that is one of the most legitimate ways that God speaks all throughout Scripture. That there are going to be moments where the word is all you're going to have discernment and go, I got to step into this moment right now. I got to pay the cost of the potential fear of failure. See, the truth is a life full of faith, you are exposed to failure and risk. It is absolutely true that your insecurities are absolutely real. I think we imagine Moses showing up, talking to Pharaoh, and his voice is like perfect all of a sudden. Isn't it crazy that God demanded him to show up with all of his frail ways and deliver the people from Egypt? He didn't take the stutter. He made him go confront Moses, or confront Pharaoh with the stutter. Isn't it crazy? He makes Isaiah speak to the nation even though they would reject him. That he would pick Gideon to step up and lead even though he would doubt God over and over and over again. See, you need to realize that your insecurity, that imposter syndrome, the inconvenience of really going all in, the fear of failure is not going away. It's all going to be there. But the decision is this, will you pay the cost to step in anyway? See, the real life of faith is it's for those who just go anyway. It's the people who, you know, go, you know, forget it. I'm going to try it right now. I remember I was in this social media cohort this summer because I wanted to learn more and just understand for our media team and all this stuff. And I'm in there. I got this 24-year-old coaching me. And he's like just giving me speeches. And I've been doing media professionally for over a decade of all this stuff. But this 24-year-old's like, no, you're not filming anyone. You need to film yourself. I was like, I'm not up in front of the camera guy. He's like, yeah, you are now. Film yourself. I know how to edit. Yes, you do. Edit yourself. He's like, do it right now. I'm like, I don't want to do it right now. I'll do it next week. He's like, no, do it this week. You're going to turn in a piece by the end of the week. You're going to show me. I'm going to give you feedback. And he goes, here's an example. I want you to go do it. I remember setting up my camera. Gosh, terrible. Felt like a bad Disney Channel. This is Disney 411. Like, I just felt not myself. Felt like a weird radio announcer voice coming up. I speak for a living and I can't talk to my phone. What's up, everybody? It's Nick. I'm just like, what is wrong with me? Here's three reasons why you can't, oh gosh, what am I? Like, I literally felt so terrible. And he confronts me on the next Zoom. And he goes, Nick, I want to tell you the secret. Everybody starts like you. Everybody I work with starts with you. But the difference is that those who make it just start posting. They just don't worry about it. They just start going for it. All my friends who are moving in business, you know what they have in common? They just go for it. I got friends who pitch stuff and I go, do you do that? I do now. So many of my friends that are in ministry, they did not know how to lead a Bible study. For all intents and purposes, they should not have put the invite out to say, come to my house. We're going to learn to be men. In fact, I knew too much about them. I'm like, they need the Bible study. But all of a sudden, 4 weeks later, the Holy Spirit shows up and they're off to the races. I wonder how many of us tonight, that overthinking has got to go. That inconvenience, you got to pay it. That imposter syndrome, it needs to be silenced and it's time to step into your calling. Because here's the reality. If you want to step into all that God has for you, it's what I said to you at the very top of the night. You need to burn the boats. You cannot go into these things with a plan B. If God has called you forward and he's like, I want you to gather women in your living room, you cannot do that half-heartedly. You got to take it serious and for real. You cannot have a let's see what happens. No, you have to take it like God is speaking to you because he is. And he already has given you a command in scripture to be a discipler. And you are going to have to take the risk of sitting there. I remember the first time sitting in a chair and everyone sitting around me going, okay, like, tell me something. Do you know what one of my first ones was so bad? I played a clip of Braveheart. This is a true story. Because I saw a pastor do it. That's all I had. So I literally played it on the TV. I think it took a minute for me to even get to work. And I go, he yelled. This is how bad it was. He yelled, freedom. God wants you to be free. And I ran out. I didn't have, that was the sermon. But I had driven all these guys to my house and they didn't have cars, so they had to stay for the rest of my ramblings. But that was the cost of the beginning of me learning how to talk to people. I remember the first time I stood up in front of a room and gave an altar call. It was four people in the room. Yeah, it was super weird. And you know what? I did not understand that I should change my speaking style. I spoke to that room like it was a stadium. Those four people, I was like, God is after your life. I mean, I don't know what was gotten into me that night. And I just gave an altar call like I was Billy Graham himself. And I'm like, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand if you're ready to give your life to four dudes. And I think two of them raised their hand and gave their life to Jesus. The band can come up. I don't know if it's a new job that God's going to call you into doing. Can I tell you how many jobs I've started that I go, I am not qualified to do this. How many of you ever like realized you were too confident in the interview process? You're like, oh yeah, I will be an elite employee. Standard operating procedures. I spit those out for breakfast. I sell like persuasive. Persuasive. I'm insulted. I'm going to sell you so many cars, you won't even believe it. You step out in the lot and you're like, this is a Toyota and it's right here. It's a vehicle. Yes, it has an engine. I need to check with my manager on that. I got to check with that too. My manager on that. Let me check with my manager on that. I'm going to check with my manager on that.
Wait, no. Look, everything is going to get so much better when my manager comes out here. I see it happen all the time in Circ Writers. Students will come through. No shade, students. We love you if you're doing this. It's an awesome experience. And they go, man, they're on the road. They're doing campuses. They're leading. They're like, you know what? I could be the most amazing leader. I could do this. I could preach. I could do this. I could lead a team. They become a tour leader. They come back to staff the next year. And they're like, help! This is horrible. See, each of these weeks, we are hammering on the idol of fear. We are hammering in that life is a life of courage. And to be honest, sometimes the environments that we find ourselves in, it's so rare to find someone who will come alongside of us and believe like we do. That's why it's such an encouraging moment when you can come into an environment and someone validates the dream on your life. Because right now, if you're carrying a dream, chances are you got no proof. You got no resume. All you got is a word. All you may got is an open door, a connection in your phone. You got a friend of a friend that you keep saying is your friend. Any of you ever leverage your contacts a little too hard? Oh yeah, I'm connected. Got some producers in Hollywood. Yeah, I can show them your stuff. No, you can't. You follow one on Instagram. You don't know anybody. There are moments in your life where you got to have these moments where you're around other people with faith and they go, I believe you. You can do that. See, what's so shocking for me is that for people of God, we're supposed to have this culture of faith of how many times we even respond with insecurity to each other's dreams. We respond in jealousy to one another's dreams. Your friend starts talking and the first thought that pops in your mind, well, God's never spoken to me like that. Am I doing something wrong? I knew God was mad at me. Oh man, I suck. But your friend is just looking at you like progressively, your eyes glaze over and you look down and you look disinterested and they're walking away feeling rejected and you're walking away feeling like a loser. What I'm trying to tell you is that Monday nights, we want to build a culture of intentional faith. If God is going to call you to change the world, you're going to need some faith. You're going to need somebody to go, dude, you heard right. Keep going. No, it's the right thing. Keep going to the meeting. Keep asking questions. Keep learning. Don't give up right now. Business is hard. Learn the craft. I've been doing it for 2 years. Yeah, dude, becoming an excellent executive is more than a two-year journey. Some of you need someone that you can call. We used to call midnight speeches at Circle Riders. For whatever reason, all my friend group, at about 11 o'clock at night, we would start getting these unctions, these crazy ideas. And we would call each other. Or we would hang out together and we would take turns saying the wildest stuff. I remember so many of these. I remember us dreaming about maybe one night we could have, one day in the future, maybe there's going to be a bunch of young people in Orange County who are going to come together on these Monday nights and we're going to run after the harvest. We're going to run after the loss in California. But dude, at the time, wait, don't clap yet. At the time, we were three bros broke in a garage wearing the nasty Urban Outfitters V-neck from the clearance section. But you know what we would do? We would stoke each other up. We go, I believe you, bro. God's going to do that. He's going to do that, bro. He's going to do that. Dude, you know you're a preacher. And we would just let each other, like, get rid of that false humility out of the room. Sometimes, dude, if God is going to call you to be a pastor one day, you got to try that on for size. It doesn't do anything good for you to go, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a pastor, I'm really called, I'm not gifted, I'm not gifted. It's all God, it's all God, it's all God. It's all him. It's, I'm a worm, I'm a worm, I'm a worm, I'm nothing. I'm filthy rags. Don't worry. Like, bro, I get it. The humility, excellent. But there's also going to have to be a moment where you go, I'm a pastor. Where, like, there's the human moment of gaining faith and confidence that God actually said something. You have moments that when your friend goes, hey, don't tell anyone. I know this is crazy.
I got this business idea. I'm going to sell this crazy AI service to all these small businesses. Bro, didn't you start using ChatGPT 2 months ago? Yeah. But I figured it out. I got this, bro. I'm launching next week. I think it's going to go big. We got to build a community where you look at that person and go, yeah, you are, dude. Dude, sign me up. I know two guys that have a business. I'll connect you. We got to be a people that are full of faith. Because where do you go where you go like, hey, God's called me to be a worship leader. I'm going to write my own songs. Dude, so much of Christian culture is like, okay, yeah, whatever. Show me a song. Cool. Who's an artist in here? Anyone an artist or a worship leader? Raise your hand if you are. You ever had the moment where you showed someone your demo and it was a huge mistake to show them? Turn on the car, your friend's just sitting there.
That's kind of catchy. Kind of catchy. Yeah.
So you want to be a people of faith, and we want to be a people that build faith in one another, because it requires so much courage to do what God is going to call you to do. And you are not going to be able to do it alone. You are going to need people around you to call you in your own midnight speech and go, hey, what are you doing right now? Just sitting here, just eating Chick-fil-A. I just want you to know, dude, I'm still thinking about that crazy idea you told me. You going to do it? You going to do it? You going to do it? I have a policy in my house. I love action. I'm an action guy. You live with me, I'm an action guy. You can't tell me a dream and I don't go, what's your next step? Anyone who lives with me, they know this. We got a young woman in our house, Julia. She's a producer. She goes, I'm a producer. I go, really? Show me your productions. Like when? Like right now. What are you doing? Show it to me. She plays with me. I'm like, it's so good. Do you think it's good? Do you think it's good? Yeah, it's good. I think this is good. I'm like, I think it's good. What are we going to do about it? We're going to release it? We're going to put it on Instagram? When? It's not ready. When will it be ready? What are we going to do to make it ready? We got to be friends full of so much faith that we don't let each other back down when God speaks. We don't let people back down and go like, bro, are you serious? That girl is willing to speak to you? Get over there. You got to be the bro sitting in the car, driving him over somewhere. Go and say, hey, don't text. Don't text. Don't text. You at least got a call, but you should drive. You know where she lives. Go bring some flowers. Shoot your shot. I can't do that. I can't. No, I'm coming with you. You can't afford the flowers. I'll buy them. You go up the door, I'll hide in the back seat. I'll just hide so she won't know I'm in there. You're going to do it right now. You're going to do it tonight. We got to be that person. Someone goes, you know, I'm going to be called to be a missionary. You're like, dude, how can I get behind you? I had this young guy. He came up to me. It was after one of the Send events. And he goes, I'm called to be a missionary in Brazil. And I just felt the Lord say, support him right now. I didn't have much money on me. I had like $50. And I go, I'm going to give you all I got right now. $50, dude. I'm putting this down because I believe your dream is real and it's from God. Run after it with your whole heart. See, that's the culture of faith. I wonder how many of you are carrying buck wild dreams, but you do not know where to talk about them. And you need a midnight speech. You need an action plan. You need a moment to seize the day, to burn the boats and go, I'm going to do it. I remember Matt Nelson, co-lead Circle Riders with me, with Holly Moseman and my mom. And I remember it was right. I was dating my soon to be wife, Emily. We were not engaged yet. And I told Emily, I go, hey, you know what? Let's not worry about Christmas break right now. It's just, we're gonna have families, you know, you're gonna come meet my family and we're gonna hang out and it's gonna be amazing. I'll meet your family. It'll be great. And we were gonna go have it in Monterey where she's from. And so we were all gonna be up there and it was gonna be awesome. And I was like, and then we'll talk about engagement afterwards. So that was like, you know, a few weeks before we're gonna leave. She's like, oh yeah, perfect. Let's just enjoy our Christmas. Then I went and met with Matt Nelson. He's like, how's it going with Emily? I was like, it's going good. It's going good. Yeah. I think it's going really good. He's like, you thought about marrying her? I'm like, yeah, I have. It's been amazing. He's like, when are you going to get engaged? And I was like, he's like, what's holding you back? And I was like, I don't know. I started having this moment. I'm like, I'm going to be with all of our family near Big Sur. This is, what am I thinking? And I remember Matt in that moment, he didn't back down. He goes, no, yeah, you should do it. And I'm like, Matt, I'm leaving tomorrow. He's like, stores are still open. It's a true story. And I remember getting in my car and driving down Beach Boulevard in Huntington Beach towards South Coast Plaza. And I had never thought, I was just like thinking of commercials. I'm like, every kiss begins with K. And I'm like, okay, K jeweler. I don't remember the Jared shingle. I'm just headed towards those areas. And I remember my uncle's a jeweler said that he always talked about hating Costco because Costco doesn't mark up their jewelry like the jewelry stores. So I was about to drive by Costco and I just hear the Holy Spirit going over there, going to Costco. I was like, I cannot buy an engagement ring, God, from Costco. There's no swag in that. And I literally feel the Holy Spirit like, get in there. So I turn over, walk into Costco. I walk to the front and I see the lady, you got to show your Costco card. I go, I don't have a membership, but I want to look at your jewelry. And if I want to buy the ring, I promise you, I'll go get a membership. So he's like, come on in. So I go in there, walk over a little jewelry thing. I see the exact ring that I wanted to buy online that I couldn't afford in there and I could afford it. I was so pumped. I ran over to that membership line. Those ladies knew what was happening and they took advantage, man. I got the city executive membership still to this day. They upselled me unbelievably. They're showing me, look what my husband did. Your wife's going to love it. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Executive platinum, I'll do it. Let's do it right now. I get to the checkout line. All I had on me was, though, my American Express card. Costco, at least at the time, I don't know if it's changed. They don't take American Express. They're closing in 15 minutes. I call my dad. I'm like, Dad, yo, I'm going to get engaged to Emily. I'm at Costco right now buying a ring. I'll pay you back tomorrow. I need your credit card. Dude, my dad got in our Land Cruiser. And when he pulled into Costco, that thing was smoking. Smoke was coming out of that thing. He did a 25-minute drive in 10 minutes. I do not know how many laws he broke to get to that Costco. He comes running in with the card. I swipe that thing. I get the card. I am doing laps in the parking lot. And I'm sitting there. I remember in my room that night looking at this thing with my roommates going, I'm doing this. Like, this is crazy. I remember getting up there, getting to the moment. And I just remember we were walking in Pebble Beach. And I'm like, all right, like, I guess this is the moment to, like, do it. Like, to propose. And I'm like, there's no natural transition. There's no music playing. There's no... I'll just launch into it. And I start giving Emily this speech and I realize I'm repeating myself. I'm like, and I so love you and I want to do life with you and I just want to do life with you and I just really want to do it together, you know, like me and you, like, and I'm realizing I've run out of my talk and I start reaching in my pocket and I can't find it and I'm like wearing too many pockets and I'm literally for like 45 seconds just like looking at her and she's looking at me and finally I find it. I get on my knee and I propose. But dude, can I tell you, I was all in on Emily, but can I tell you, I needed faith at every corner. I needed Matt Nelson to go, dude, you're doing this thing. You're going tonight. I needed my dad to go, yo, I'm your wingman. I'm driving over right now. I needed to go show my bros back at the house and they go, dude, you're a baller. look at that thing, dude. I'm like, yeah, I'm a man of God. That's right. And it's that same emotion you're going to need when you step out in ministry. It's that same emotion when you actually go, I'll volunteer. It's that same emotion when you take the job that you've never had before. It's the same emotion when you say yes to meet with the mentor and you go, I've never talked to someone with $1 million before. Sir, what would be some good leadership principles? I'm broke, man. Can you help me? Like this is... You're not going to know how to do everything, but I do know this. You're going to need those people in your life to look at you and go, oh, you got this. Today's going to go amazing. See, we cannot just preach on faith, on faith, on faith, and faith, and not make a personal culture shift, not just to build faith in our own life. We have to make a commitment to be a voice of faith and courage in one another. The word encourage literally means to put courage in someone else. Can we stand together? Here's your altar call tonight. All right. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. If you got to move around the room, go for it. I want you to find somebody. It could be the person right next to you. If you came with a friend, prefer you to do it with a friend. If you don't, if you came alone tonight, make a new one right next to you. Just go, yo. I need a friend. Start singing Stand By Me. Stand by me. Like just whatever you got to do. Just make one right now. You can't have a group of three, just a group of two. Make a group of two. Group of two. Everyone find a group of two and say, yo, we're partners in crime right now. You're my partner. Here we go. All right, say neighbor.
Neighbor.
Come on, say neighbor.
Neighbor.
Say it like you mean it. Say neighbor.
Neighbor.
I got some faith for you. All right, now here it is. Tonight, we're going to practice the midnight speech. No, don't repeat it. We're going to do it. Great job. Very, very good willingness to be discipled. All right, here we go. Here's what we're going to do. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to share with the person next to you what is one thing that you know God has been calling you to do, but it's been scaring you half to death, and you know you're in delay. And that you need the courage to keep going for it, or you need the courage to get started in the first place. I'll give you a second to think about it. One, that's your second. All right, now, I want you to turn to your neighbor. I want one person to raise your hand in every group. Come on, raise your hand. One person in every group, raise your hand. All right, you go first this time. All right, yeah, I feel that tonight. You go first. Try to mix it up each time. All right, on the count of three, I'm going to give you 30 seconds, vulnerability time. What is something that you know God is calling you to step into, that you may be in some delay about? It's freaking you out. It's scaring you, and you need some courage to either step into it or to keep doing it. Ready, set, go for it. Okay, pause. All right. Now the other person, the person who was listening. You about to fire your best coach speech up you've ever given. This is your practice of how you respond with some faith and build a culture of faith amongst your friends. Here we go. On the count of three, I want you to unleash the craziest faith-filled encouragement. That this is the moment to step in. This is the moment to seize the day. This is the moment to walk into divine opportunity. Are you ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Unleash your speech. Okay, pause. All right. If you just gave the speech, it's your time to spill the beans. What is that one thing that you know you've been delaying, you've been putting off? God is calling you forward. And you need some courage. It's your moment to seize the opportunity. Vulnerability time. Here you go. One, two, three. Go for it. Okay, pause. Here we go. All right. This is the final speech.
Are you ready to return? The person who was listening, it's time to unleash your speech. Here's the deal. Wait, pause. Shh, 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 shh. Real quick, let me get your attention. Hold on. This is the last one. The last speech always has to be the best speech. Always has to be the best speech. I'm talking about you got to pull deep inside of you on this one. I want you to act like literally their future is in the balance. And this is the greatest speech of faith that they need. On the count of three, are you ready to unleash it? Ready? One, two, three. Unleash your speech. Okay, pause, pause, pause. Some of y'all going crazy mode, man. The hand motion is like... All right. By a raise of hands, how many feel some faith rising in your heart tonight? You feel some faith rising in your heart. We're going to worship again. You pray this with me tonight. Say, Jesus. Jesus. We say yes to the cost of stepping forward, even when we feel insecure. We say yes to the cost of inconvenience and seizing opportunity. We say yes to the cost of pushing forward, even if we fail. We rebuke all anxiety. Anxiety is not from Jesus. Jesus, you're going to help me. You're going to empower me. You're going to infuse me with your Holy Spirit to seize the moments that you have for me. Come on.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.